Good morning, Ryan. How you doing, man?
What's up, Ryan?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Oh, you know, just muddling through on a Friday, brother.
Well, this weekend's going to be beautiful. We went from ice-geddon, right?
Snowmageddon to Noah's Ark rain last weekend, and now it's actually going to be sunny and nice.
So and beautiful.
So there's your weather update for Nashville.
How is it over there in the foothills of the Smokies?
Yeah, not a lot different as usual, except for when you guys got snow and ice and we got nothing. But, pretty much the same. It's been a couple nice days this week, starting to feel a little like spring on some days. So that means, I guess spring football must be just around the corner. And that's, I'm okay with both of those things. I'm ready to actually talk some real football after like a month of this whole like changing staffs thing taking its time. let's move on to the real thing.
Well, April 24th, they announced this week the spring game. Don't know about the time or attendance yet. So you've got 15 practices over 5 weeks. Fall practice begins March 23rd. And, you know, I'm looking at that quarterback room, you know, with the addition of Hooker, the grad transfer from Virginia Tech, Bailey, Maurer, Salters. Like in all football, it usually starts with a quarterback conversation anyway. But, I mean, I can make a case for all four of those, quite frankly.
You could, the Maurer stuff, because he was recruited by this staff when they were at UCF. That's maybe given people a little more thought that he could be a factor in this race. I still would say he's probably the fourth of those candidates. But yeah, it's at least a legitimate three-man race, even if Maurer is not as much of a factor as the other three. So it's going to be a fascinating competition. It's not going to end anytime soon. I can certainly tell people that. I would be shocked if a starter is named before at least the second week of preseason camp. You know, it's going to be one of those things that definitely drags through the summer and quite possibly up until the week of the first game. You know, it's going to be an interesting battle, and it might not be over before the start of the season if it's as close as I think it could be. But yeah, that definitely adds to the intrigue. Plus, you know, the installation of a new offense and just kind of seeing what's left on this roster with a lot of or at least several important players now gone. So it'll be an interesting spring, and you know, wish we'd get to see it all. But it does sound like media access, of course, will continue to be restricted with COVID protocols. So we'll do what we can. But it'll be an interesting spring to follow for sure.
And of course, Heupel will say all the right things, right? Oh, we like all the guys. There's a chance all of them could play. I could play four quarterbacks on game day, right? We'll hear that kind of
There's
stuff.
There's four quarters, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I'll play one quarterback per quarter, maybe. You know, so you have that to look forward to, Ryan. Congratulations.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm just happy we're getting to hear a lot more from his staff. You know, we've already been introduced to the offensive staff, and now that the defensive staff's been officially hired, it sounds like we'll be talking to those guys next week. And it sounds like that may be at least a little bit more of a regular thing under this staff than under the previous regime. So, as a reporter covering the team, I think fans should like that too. But that's certainly something we're excited about with this change, is maybe at least a little bit more access to things like that.
Ryan Callahan is our guest, Go Vols 24/7. Ryan, did you get a load of what Tony Elliott had to say on some of the reasons why he turned down the Tennessee opportunity? Did you read anything into that?
Yeah, well, it's about what you would expect, right? You know, for a guy in his situation where you maybe have a chance to sit back and sort of pick your spots when you do get a chance to be a head coach, it certainly. You know, I think a lot of people would agree it made sense. I think just the sense around him was that he was maybe not likely to turn down an opportunity at a program like that. But maybe he got some advice from some people close to him that, hey, that's a tougher job than you think under these circumstances or whatever. But yeah, it's not an invalid point, and he's certainly a guy that at a program like Clemson. He's probably going to have another opportunity at some point in the next couple of years, and clearly just didn't feel this was the right time and the right fit for him under these circumstances at Tennessee. So, can't say I'm surprised, but at the time during that search, he seemed like a very realistic option just because he was not a sitting head coach among the guys that they were seriously involved with. He seemed like the most realistic for a while there because he was the one that wasn't a proven head coach that might say, you know, I'm good where I am. He seemed like he might be ready to jump for a job like that, but apparently not.
Yeah, it just seems like, you know, he saw the writing on the wall, right, Ryan, knowing that, you know, there's going to be some rough waters ahead for this program before things finally settle down, and maybe he just figured, you know what, I got a good thing going here at Clemson, and you know, why put, you know, like you said, just not the right time, not the right place.
Yeah, and hey, he's at a program that's consistently in the college football playoff right now. If Clemson keeps that up, he's going to have another good program come after him in the next couple of years. So he saw what happened with Jeff Scott. You know, he's another guy who sort of waited his chance and ended up getting a pretty good opportunity there at USF. So you can sort of wait your turn and find the right fit. But, you know, what that is for him, you know, only time will tell. But I think there's certainly some thought that, you know, Brent Venables has certainly been the defensive coordinator there. He's gotten a number of opportunities over the years and just hasn't really jumped at any of those. But I think there's a sense that Tony Elliott's going to eventually get offered a pretty good job and maybe just, you know, didn't feel as good about the Tennessee opportunity as people might have thought.
Well, he's probably, what, making 1.5, 2 million, somewhere in that range? I'm guessing one of the top paid assistants, if not the top paid assistant in all of college football now. So, yeah, I mean, why not? You can pick and choose, right, when you're making that kind of money. The revolving door on strength and conditioning coaches, 9 since 2009. No surprise, A.J. Artis moves to South Florida after Kurt Schmidt was brought along with Heupel to be ahead of it. So, and I was talking with John yesterday about it from 81 through 2008, 27 years, they had 3 strength and conditioning coaches. Obviously, the late John Stuckey in there, but and a lot of that has to do with just the revolving door of head coaches when you have that many changes. But certainly, consistency in strength and conditioning, I think, is underrated. And John, you could speak to it more than me because you know you're svelte. But
the dynamics of training has changed so much. You know how you can do sports-specific training. I mean, back in the old days, you just, you know, you lifted weights and ran. Now there's dynamic conditioning, there's anabolic conditioning, and you got to have that's a very important job for any major college is your strength coach.
Yeah, I think that's a big deal. Like you said, it's sort of just a symptom of the head coaching turnover Tennessee's had over the past 12 years now, but it's also you know, I think just shows you how much the strength coach position has changed. You know, so much now, like you said, there are different ways to do everything now, and each head coach and sometimes even coordinators might have different philosophies on exactly what you need out of that position. And there's a legitimate belief that a good strength coach can make a real difference in your program. They're responsible for overseeing your off-season program. There's so much that goes into that, building leadership and accountability within a team. So it really is an important spot, and I think there is some value in having continuity there, and Tennessee just frankly hasn't had it over the years. You know, even Craig Fitzgerald having to fight off some other teams that came after him going into his second year at Tennessee, and then he ultimately leaves for the NFL to go back to the NFL. So that just shows you how tough it can be to hold on to a guy, even when you get a good one and have a little bit of continuity. That all happened during Jeremy Pruitt's tenure. So it's just tough to keep a good one these days. And yeah, you've got to have some head coach continuity to start. So no surprise, obviously, that there's a turnover, that there was turnover there along with the head coaching change. But certainly, we'll you know, time will tell how that works out. But they obviously, we're going to have a tough time making it work with A.J. Artis and Kurt Schmidt both on staff.
Ryan Callahan at Ryan Callahan 24/7, Go Vols 24/7 as well. Ryan, I like the fact that Heupel is trying to learn, you know, because there's no previous base of him in Tennessee. I know he brought in some former players, sent them signed prints of Neyland Stadium. He's out trying to learn the correct pronunciation of some of the plate, like it's not Lafayette, it's Lafayette, you know, those kind of things. Columbia is in Murray County, not Maury County. So, right. But I think because a lot of coaches would just come in, hey, you know, you've seen it over the years where they'll just, hey, the past is the past. We are here and we don't build on it. I think he's been pretty smart about doing that because I think that to Tennessee is probably what keeps the hope alive for a lot of UT fans, is that tradition and getting back to it.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot to be said for a lot of the things Josh Heupel's done so far. I think he's paying attention to the details. I think it helps that he's been at a program like Oklahoma before, and I think it also I kind of thought about this at one point a couple weeks ago. He got to Oklahoma and sort of helped get that program back to where it was after a down period. So I think he understands what it can be like to go through that at a tradition or a program with some proud tradition, and also obviously just knows what it's like to be at a program like that, having been at Oklahoma before. So I think that helps him. And then he brings a little bit of the go-getter attitude you got to have when you're at a program like UCF, that you've got to make some things happen on your own that you don't have to sometimes at a place like Tennessee or Oklahoma. So I think he's maybe willing to do a little more of the work, kind of grinding day to day to build the relationships you need outside a program that maybe some of Tennessee's recent head coaches I think weren't as willing to do. So yeah, I think he's off to a very good start. Heard good reviews from former players so far. As you mentioned, I thought sending that print that he signed to former players was a really nice touch. A little print of Neyland Stadium and the surrounding area, thanking former players for helping build this. So yeah, I think he's taken a lot of nice steps so far. You hear all sorts of things, of course, in year one under every coach of, oh, this guy gets it and here's why. And believe me, we've been through this a few times lately at Tennessee. So everyone's probably going to be, withhold any opinions of him until really after his first season, and probably even longer than that. And that's totally fair at this point. But I think early reviews have been pretty good so far about just the things outside of winning games that you need to do at a place like Tennessee.
Men's hoop team wraps up the regular season hosting Florida on Sunday, 11 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. How important do you think it is for, the Vols to just go out and have a solid performance and win a game before they get into SEC tournament play and beyond?
Yeah, well, it's big, and it's big because they've got something to play for. They can win this game and get that double bye in the SEC tournament to sneak past that second round and get straight to Friday. So that's a big deal. Obviously, if you want to have any chance of winning that tournament, it certainly helps you quite a bit to not have to worry about playing on Thursday. So we'll see if they can get that accomplished, but yeah, that this team's just got to figure out something to get some more consistency in their game if they're going to have a chance of making a real run this month. It's March; they're out of time. They've sort of messed around with this up and down play long enough.
Yeah,
if they're going to flip the switch, it's got to be now. So this is a good final test for them before the games really start to count. The good news for them is they don't have to win the SEC tournament to make it to the NCAA tournament. They're a tournament team, but they've got to use these remaining games, whether it's just two more, three more, whatever, before they get to the big dance to see if they can figure some things out and become a more consistent offensive team, because they're certainly looking like a team that's going to be a potentially a popular first round upset pick if they don't start to change things around here in the next couple weeks.
And quickly, with the Lady Vols tonight against Ole Miss, the nightcap of the quarterfinals over in Greenville, Texas A&M 1, South Carolina 2, those two teams are national championship contenders, okay? I think already what the 3 seed and what that meant is already an accomplishment for Kelly in this season, regardless of what happens. The win over South Carolina, the near miss against UConn, I think she's got the program headed in the right direction, and I think a 3 seed behind those top two is pretty strong.
I agree, and like you said, the win over South Carolina, almost pulling that upset against UConn, they've had some moments this year where you started to look at things and say, wait a minute, this is starting to look like old Tennessee a little bit more, and it's been a few years since you started to really feel that. So I think you're right. They're clearly recruiting at a more consistent level right now, I think, and the on-court product is certainly a lot better this season. So I think there's a real sense they're heading in the right direction, and they're still not at that level where they're ready to win the SEC yet. It's obviously a tough league now with a national national title contender coming out every year, but they've had a good season, and this is definitely a step in the right direction from where they've been the past few years.
Ryan Callahan, GoVols 24/7. You can follow him, Ryan Callahan 24/7 on Twitter, as 35,600 people already do.
And he's a popular guy.
I'm one of them.
So am I.
I want a print.
He's a popular dude, man.
I want a signed print.
Oh, jeez.
I'm honored. Honored that you're one of them, and I don't know what that would be a print of, but we can come.
Nah, we'll figure something. Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it. Talk
Thanks,
to you
Ryan.
Next Friday.
Have a good weekend, guys.
All right.